Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're kindly joined by the CEO of Tech Capital. We're going to be discussing the company, their value proposition, as well as their portfolio. So I'd like to welcome to the podcast Dr. Clifford Gross, CEO of Tech Capital. Clifford, thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having us.
So, Clifford, you kindly joined us last night on the UK Investor Magazine Virtual Investor Conference, and there'll be a link in the notes to this podcast if anybody wants to go and check that out. Very insightful, some very good questions as well from the audience there. But we're going to be looking and delving into Tech Capital today on the podcast. So for people that aren't maybe familiar with Tech Capital, please would you be able to give us a breakdown introduction to Tech Capital as well as your value proposition, please?
Yeah, sure. Our focus is to identify, acquire, and commercialize university discoveries that we think could make a positive impact to people's lives. And whilst doing that, of course, produce healthy returns on invested capital.
Fantastic. Thank you. So let's now look at the overall structure, if we may, please, Clifford, of the business. So, you know, a little bit about, you know, your operations, how you're structured and your portfolio of investments, if you may.
Sure. We're structured as an accelerator of university discoveries, and we have built a proprietary global university sourcing network. We have about 4,500 universities that we're electronically connected with, where we could identify and review technologies in every area of science, medicine, and engineering that are available for license. And we also have a science advisory board to help us screen these technologies. We have about 60 senior scientists in different verticals that we use on an as-needed basis to determine go, no-go in terms of the scientific veracity. And then in addition to that, we have an in-house analytics group called Invention Evaluator, which is based on the West Coast, the US, Seattle. And they're able to analyze quite thoroughly for any technology in any sector, the market potential of that technology. So these are some of the in-house structures that we've assembled that we're able to use to identify potential deal flow around which we want to build a portfolio company. In addition, because some of these services that we've developed in-house for ourselves are so thorough, we decided to offer them to other organizations, both corporate entities as well as universities. And we have about 250 university clients, most of whom use our analytics services on a repeat basis. We also have several corporates. A large one that joined us last year was Hewlett-Packard Enterprises, where we evaluate a number of their new in-house developed technologies in terms of the veracity and the market potential. So coupled with that, we also have extensive experience on the licensing of intellectual properties, on early stage seed funding, both through you know, crowd funds as well as early stage venture capitalists and microcap IPOs. And then we have an internal group that can handle the accounting capabilities required for these early stage businesses. And we provide all of these services on an as-needed basis to our portfolio companies.
Fantastic. So you finished there with mentioning the portfolio companies, and I'm sure this is something that listeners will be particularly interested in hearing about. So this was very well described last night on the investor conference. But let's go into them now, please, if we may, Clifford. Would you able to give us a breakdown of each company and where they are in their growth cycles?
Sure. All of them are early stage businesses in terms of the macro view. But they're all, you know, they're all successful early stage businesses. They're all generating revenue. They all have market potentials north of $1 billion in terms of current sales in their markets that they're playing in. They all have, in our view, star power management coupled with vibrant intellectual capital, intellectual properties. So that's what they have in common. But their sectors are quite different. You know, Belascura is one of them. It's a medical device company in the respiratory device sector. In particular, they're manufacturing. They develop, designed, and manufacturing portable oxygen concentrators. We have Lucid, which makes smart eyewear, which are proper prescription and sunglasses that are electronic and able to connect to your phone. So you can stay connected to your digital life while correcting your vision and protecting your eyes from sun. We have Guidant. They make software for the remote monitoring and control of autonomous vehicles to improve the safety of autonomous vehicles. And then we have Solaris, which manufactures a proprietary salt called Microsalt, which is, we believe, the smallest edible salt crystals in the world. They're measured in microns. They're about 100 times smaller than table salt, and they make salt that is very low in sodium to hopefully reduce the excess sodium consumption in the world's population, which we feel can make a dent in cardiovascular disease. So all of these companies are early stage. All of them have capable management teams in our view. All of them have vibrant intellectual property. All of them are generating revenues. And all of them, if successful, can really make a positive difference in the lives of the customers that they serve.
Fantastic. Thank you. So, I mean, you obviously outlined there a very compelling case for each company. And I'm sure listeners will be quite keen to know, you know, of course, that they've got the technology there. But what is the market for this technology? So would you be able to give us a breakdown of the addressable market sizes for each one of the companies in your portfolio, please?
Yeah. I'll do it rather than to this year. I'll do it to 2025, which is a little bit more convenient for various statistical reasons. So Belascura, and of course, by the way, all of the numbers I'm giving you are from individual reports. And if you use a different report, you can obviously get a different number. But I do think the numbers I'm presenting are reasonable estimations of the market potential for the particular businesses in 2025. So for Belascura, it's $2.9 billion. And for Lucid and its innovative eyewear business, the eyewear business is enormous. It's $178 billion. For Microsalt, the low-sodium salt market is $1.6 billion. And for Guidant, the autonomous last mile delivery business is $72 billion. That's not the full autonomous safety market, but just the last mile delivery. Those are autonomous robots that will deliver pizzas, pharmaceutical items, groceries, and other things to people's homes. So those are the addressable markets for the four businesses that we've built.
Thank you. So, of course, with a portfolio of investments like this, investors will be keen to know what is it like in terms of liquidity events going forward? What's your exit strategy? I mean, is it something that's uniform across the portfolio or you know, are you flexible with your exit strategies for each company? And, you know, for the ones that you have in your portfolio at the moment, what does the time frame look like for any potential exits?
Well, across the portfolio, we're usually looking for either initial public offerings or trade sales. And our first portfolio company, Belascura, completed an IPO last year and actually has done quite well subsequently. Their share price has doubled, even though it was a very choppy market in the last year, especially in the last 7 months. They have still done a yeoman's job of producing very good returns for their shareholders. The other three companies will be either IPOs or trade sales, in our view, and all should occur within 24 months, perhaps quite a bit sooner. One of our companies, Lucid, or its U.S. operating business, Innovative Eyewear, which we own 81% of, has already registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission to have an initial public offering in the U.S., although we are waiting with our bankers for a more opportune time to pull the trigger on that offering based on market conditions. In addition to that, Microsalt, we feel, is likely to effectuate a capital market transaction in 2023 because of the rapid growth in front of that it's facing right now. It could well utilize additional resources to take advantage of the tremendous opportunities that are being presented to it by some of the world's largest food and product distribution companies. And then for Guidant, we don't have a near-term exit, but we do within 24 months think it's likely that they will have a trade sale or do an IPO as well.
Thank you. Great. So, you know, you've obviously outlined a very attractive case there for Tech Capital and for investors to go and have a closer look at Tech Capital and the portfolio companies there, because you've given a very brief overview there, but there's a lot of detail on your website. And obviously, you can look at the, you know, investors can look at the companies individually as well. But you're the CEO, Clifford, of Tech Capital. What would you say are the key reasons for investors to consider Tech Capital as an investment?
Well, we think we're a well-managed, sort of low-cost firm that can give exposure to investors to compelling early stage technology companies with strong IP, star power management, and real significant growth prospects. We also are able to do this quite quickly compared to the average. If you look at the U.S. Venture Capital Association, the time from startup to exits is typically 7 to 10 years when that occurs. And in the case of our first company, Belloscura, we did that in less than half of that time frame. And we seem to be on track with the other companies similarly. So we're doing it rapidly. And partially that's due to the fact that we've selected technologies, using our network. Our network is very good at serving up technologies, which helps mitigate adverse selection. They're still early stage, but when you have such a wide variety of institutions to select from, you can mitigate adverse selection. And we also have, very diligent processes for reviewing the potential of the technology to be commercialized. And so we think that has helped in bearing fruit and in bringing exits closer to the point of formation of these companies than is statistically normally the case. And then the other point that sort of makes Tech Capital, we think, a really compelling investment opportunity is that a core part of our investment proposition is that when we have a material exit that we monetize, we intend to share a significant portion of that as a special dividend with our shareholders. And we're committed to doing that on an ongoing basis. And then I guess finally I'll mention, right now we have four companies that we're focused on, three of them in particular that are, we're preening for a successful exit, and they all have tremendous midterm and long-term potential. But we intend on adding more companies to the mix once we see these other three companies are well on their way to achieving the value propositions that are before them.
Fantastic. That's great. And I'll just finish off myself when preparing for this podcast and having a look at Tech Capital. One of the things that really struck me was the discount of the share price at the moment compared to the NAV of the portfolio. So for investors listening to this, do go and have a look at that, because that in itself is a particularly interesting point. And, you know, obviously that the current valuations probably aren't taking into consideration the future values on any exits. So that's something that I'd encourage people to have a look at. So we'll finish off the podcast there. Clifford, thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my distinct pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. So just as a note for listeners, do check out the video section on the UK Investor Magazine website, where you'll see the video presentation that Clifford gave at our latest virtual investor conference. Thank you very much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.